Hello, this is Reverend Lindsay again. Thanks for joining me for part two of our stay-at-home worship podcast for my meditation on the scriptures for August 30th, 2020, entitled Holy Ground. So, when was the last time you set foot on holy ground? I know you haven't in church lately, at least not in our church, and we are not in church now. But let me invite you anyway to remove the sandals from your feet. Seriously, if you're wearing them, take off your shoes or your slippers or your sneakers. I will too. Feel the floor or the carpet or maybe you're listening to this outside, the grass or the dirt even beneath your feet. Feel yourself connected, grounded to God's world. And now, let me ask, have you seen any burning bushes lately? Have you ever? No? Think about this. When an unjust despot, Pharaoh, decreed that all male Hebrew infants be killed at birth, a young mother sought to protect her newborn son by the desperate measure of placing him in a basket and setting him by the riverbank. And he was adopted by none other than Pharaoh's daughter. The child Moses was raised as Egyptian royalty, but his charmed existence came to an end. As he grew older, Egyptian in status, but Hebrew at heart, an adult Moses saw an Egyptian slave overseer mistreating a fellow Israelite. Consumed by anger, Moses murdered the man and fled for his life. But he put all that behind him. He got married, had a child, became a shepherd. All was well. Until one day, minding his own business in the middle of nowhere, he came across a bush that was alight with fire, but was not consumed by it. He could have gone, huh, interesting, and walked away. He could have gone, ooh, that's scary, and run away. Instead, he stops in his tracks and thinks, maybe I'd better pay attention to this raging fire. That raging fire which did not consume. Thousands of years ago, God said, I have observed the misery of my people. I have heard their cry. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them. When God saw and heard and knew the suffering of God's people in God's very heart, God could not, cannot stand idly by. God sees, God hears, God knows, and God acts. Not usually with hellfire and brimstone, and sometimes I think that would be a whole lot easier. But no, God acts by calling God's people and giving them the vision and the strength to do God's work in the world. And so perhaps we are reminded, called, implored through this story to stop and turn aside, to stop and pay attention to the raging fires, the little fires everywhere which are in danger of consuming our nation and which rightly consume the hearts and minds of many. And I'm not even thinking about the wildfires in California. From Ferguson to Sacramento, from Florida to Louisville to Minneapolis to Kenosha, from city streets and suburban lanes to parking lots and public parks and Breonna Taylor's home, through the killings of unarmed Black people at the hands of law enforcement and the murders of social justice protesters by civilian vigilantes, we have heard the cries of God's people. We have seen their suffering. Some of us, they have suffered too. All of us, I think, albeit to different degrees, have felt pain. Yet our faith assures us that God is with us. How are we going to respond? How are we, as people of faith, to respond to these burning bushes, these claims on our attention, near and far? How are we to work for the deliverance of God's people? I know it's a formidable task, but people have overcome seemingly insurmountable obstacles before. Moses, an unconvicted felon turned peaceable shepherd, led God's people out of slavery in Egypt. Enslaved people and allies helped end the institution of the slavery of God's people in this country. Women suffragists won the vote. A young Baptist preacher and many other determined people of faith, of many faiths, challenged and changed unjust segregation laws and practices. As with those legal changes, the legalization of gay marriage hasn't stopped discrimination or violence against LGBTQ people, but hearts and minds are moved daily. Mothers got mad, and mothers against drunk driving changed not only laws, but cultural values and societal norms. Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America has helped pass safer gun laws across the nation and gotten several members elected to political office. On a very mundane and self-interested level, car makers used to oppose safety measures until they realized that safer cars were marketable. And now lives are saved every day by seatbelts and airbags. We can make a difference. We can demand of the pharaohs of greed and racism, of oppression and inequality, of self-interest and fear, let our people go from this culture of hostility and heartlessness. So yes, all lives matter, of course. But until Black lives are valued by all as much as white lives are, we should affirm it loud and clear. Black lives matter. We can affirm that love between consenting adults is love pure and simple in all its varied beauty and ain't nobody else's business. That we welcome and value refugees and immigrants to our nation's shores and our community. That we believe, funnily enough, that women are people. There are petitions to be signed and elected officials to call. There is a November vote to participate in and get out and protect. There is God's love to declare to an aching world. I really don't want to sound like an alarmist, but there is a fire burning in our country. And I don't know if it's ultimately destructive or not. I am convinced we will come through it. The things we care about so deeply are at risk of being consumed, while other things should be consumed, like hatred and bigotry and greed in all their dreadful forms. And we've talked, many of us. I know you have stopped and turned aside and taken notice. Notice that we stand on sacred ground. Ground soaked with the blood of too many of God's children. As did Abel's, who was murdered by his brother, their blood cries out. God hears those cries and sees that anguish and knows that pain. And God calls us to act. God said to Moses, "I will send you to bring my people out of slavery." But Moses said to God, "Whoa, who am I that I could do that. It's easy to forget or tempting to ignore that Moses was a murderer. No matter the justice of his cause, he took a human life. And I don't really know what to do with that fact, except that it reminds us that we are none of us beyond redemption. None of us are too damaged to be an instrument of salvation for others. Because God said to Moses, "You are the one I called. You may not think you're up to the task, but you are, because I will be with you. And that is the sign that I send you. I will be with you." "Well, okay," says Moses. "But if I'm going to be able to persuade people, I'm going to need some ID, some authorization, some backup. Who should I say sent me? Who are you exactly?" "Who am I?" God says. "I am who I am. I will be who I will be. I will be who I have always been. The God of your ancestors, who sees the misery of my people, hears their cries, knows their suffering, and will deliver them." My friends, remove the sandals from your feet. Take off your shoes, your slippers, your sneakers. For the place on which you are standing or sitting, wherever it is holy ground. Because God is there. And from it, God calls to us each. God empowers us, anoints us, blesses us, and leads us into action. So we too can join in the cry of Israel, "Let God's people go." May it be so. Amen.